We finished Daniel kind of abruptly. It kind of came to a conclusion quite quickly there. And then my plan is to begin a study on the tabernacle on Sunday nights. But I may do a little more meandering around first. I'm not finished meandering in John. Let's take our Bibles and go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I have been involved in Christian ministry for 48 years now. I was involved part-time even before that time, but I have been involved in Christian ministry for 48 years now. I have, over that 48 years, had the privilege and honor of assisting families in times of need when there was a death in the family. I have been called upon many times to have a funeral for someone who was not saved. Let me tell you, as a pastor, that's a difficult funeral for me. Very difficult to preach a funeral service where I don't believe the person was born again. It's a very tragic and sad time. I remember when I first went to Lake Lansing Baptist Church, where I had my first senior pastorate. I'd been a youth pastor for 8 years previous to that. But I went to Lake Lansing Baptist Church, and I hadn't been there too long, and one of my members came to me and asked me if I would be willing to do a funeral service for a family that was their neighbor. The family did not have any church association anywhere. And I said I would be willing to do a funeral for them. And so I met with the family and planned out some things for the service. So the last name was Snow of this particular family. It was the first funeral that I'd done as a senior pastor. About 2 weeks later, I had a call, and the same family wanted me to do a second funeral for them, 2 weeks later. In the meantime, I had been able, praise God, to lead one of the sisters of a man to the Lord in that family. So she had come to know Christ as her Savior. When I say a sister, she was probably in her 30s, but she trusted Christ. Sadly, about a month later, I was asked to do a funeral for the same family, a third family member in the same family, and two of those funerals were suicides. It was very, very difficult. It was hard for me to do one, but I did three. Now, the one lady who had come to Christ, certainly she had a tremendous burden on her heart. And she asked me this question after all of these funerals were over. She asked me, "Is there any chance for any of my loved ones to be saved now that they've already died?" That was her question. Now, I know that you're familiar with the fact that there are some groups that teach that a person can, they call it purgatory and some other things, does have a second chance. Even sometimes truly born again people have a question about the goodness and mercy of God and what would happen if a person died and they faced the Lord, and immediately after they faced the Lord they realized that they needed Christ and they should have done it in life, but they didn't. And so there are some even godly born-again Christian people who struggle with this, who struggle with the truth as to whether or not this an individual might have another chance. After all, wouldn't a loving God be willing to give them another chance? Sadly, for them, I have to only rely upon what God's word says. Even in my own heart, I would have to, because I'm compassionate, would have to say, I wish it were true that maybe they had another chance. I could hope that, just from a human standpoint, that maybe they might have another opportunity. But it just doesn't fall to my compassion or my sadness. It doesn't fall to the compassion of a family or the sadness and sorrow of a family. The only way we can give a clear answer is by turning to the Word of God. And so here in John chapter 8, let's read starting at verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. As we examine this passage, three times in verses 21 and 24, we see a phrase, if and shall die in your sins. The phrase, shall die in your sins. That's a very tragic phrase, isn't it? To die in your sins. We would, as I already mentioned, trust and hope and pray. And let me just stop and say this. You don't need to raise your hands here, but I'm sure this is true of many of us. We have had perhaps a loved one or a dear friend or someone who went into eternity without our having a knowledge of them having received Christ as their Savior. But aren't you glad sometimes a person may have made a decision for Christ that you're not aware of? If you have been praying for an individual and God has laid it on your heart to pray for an individual, and then they die without you knowing that they came to Christ, don't despair. God is faithful. And the possibility exists that they did, before they passed to eternity, place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I have some friends and some relatives that I hope that was the case in their lives. I haven't given up hope. Now, I don't believe that they got saved after death, but my prayer continues to be that they did trust Christ as their Savior before they died. And so if you've had that experience, again, be encouraged. Maybe you're going to meet them in eternity because they trusted Christ as their Savior and you didn't know about it. And the question that we have raised tonight is this. Is there a second chance? Is there an opportunity for a person to receive Christ after death? And based on the phrases right here in chapter 8 of John, when he says, that one who shall seek me and shall die in their sins. Whither I go, what's true of them? They cannot come. Well, where was Jesus going? Well, when it says, I go my way, you can't come, I believe that he's speaking about returning to heaven when his ministry is over. He's going to go his way. He's going to return to the Father. And he says most emphatically, now I know it's a tragic statement, and for those without Christ, it's a very sad statement. But for that one who dies in his sins, that means never having professed and received Christ as their Savior and never having had their sins cleansed through the blood of Christ, that one who dies in his sins, the Bible is very clear here, they cannot go. In verse 21, it says, whither I go, ye cannot come. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And so it's very clear in my understanding of this passage that the answer to that question certainly is the fact that no, there's not a second opportunity. There's not a second chance. But there's a verse in the book of Revelation. And let's turn there to the book of Revelation. And here by contrast is a wonderful phrase. Chapter 14, verse 13. Revelation 14, 13. And I looked, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die, what? In the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So this verse reminds us, also written by John. John wrote the verses back there through inspiration in chapter 8, and now he's writing here in Revelation 14 by inspiration, and he's saying, rather than dying in your sins, how is it that other people die? And they die in the Lord. In the Lord. Let me say, there's only two ways a person can die tonight. Either still in their sins, or they die in the Lord. There's no in between. There's no other state. There's just those two states. Now, for those of us who know the Lord, we can say, praise God, I am in the Lord. And so when I die, I'm going to die in the Lord. Now, notice that that means that they have trusted in the one who paid for their sin. They are not paying for their sin. What does it say at the end of that verse? They'll rest from their labors, and their works do what? Follow them. Well, when are their works going to be judged? At the judgment seat of Christ. And so we know that their works will follow them. In other words, that which they've done on earth will, one day they will give account for those things before the Lord. And so their works are going to follow them. But it's wonderful to recognize that people today can indeed die in the Lord. And I trust, I believe, as I look around the room, I believe I know the testimony of just about everybody in this room. And I know that as far as I know, every person in this room has made a profession of Jesus Christ as their Savior. So all of us, if and when we die, are going to die in the Lord. And so we can thank God for that. That's an encouragement for us. But we are surrounded by people who are going to die in their sins if we don't share the good news of Christ with them. There was a man by the name of Richard Baxter. I have a book or two written by Richard Baxter. And Richard Baxter used to pray this way. Oh God, I pray for a full heaven and an empty hell. Richard Baxter used to pray that way. I pray for a full heaven and an empty hell. And I wish that were true. My heart says I could pray the same thing. Unfortunately, the Bible makes it clear that there is not going to be an empty hill, and that there will be many that will be separated from the Lord in eternity. Again, in Matthew 25, verse 46, Jesus himself said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And then in Matthew 18:18, Jesus was talking about offenses in Matthew 18:8, excuse me, and he was talking about offenses, and he said, "If your hand offend you, or if your foot should offend you, what should you do? Cut it off." He said, "Because it's better to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands and two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." And so Jesus makes it very clear that there will be those, unfortunately, who are cast into everlasting fire. They are going to die in their sins. Hebrews 10:31 says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so tonight, it's wonderful to know that we are right with God. And as we gather around the Lord's table tonight, and we give an opportunity for us to examine our own hearts and lives tonight, I hope we will spend a little bit of time just thanking the Lord for the assurance that we know Christ and that we are in right relationship with God through him, and that we will not be like those mentioned here in John chapter 8 who will die in their sins. But we praise God because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We are now in the Lord. And that's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. Let's just quickly read a couple more verses here in John chapter 8. It says, "I said," verse 24, "therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not..." So what's the reason that these people will die in their sins? Verse 24 gives us at the end of the verse. It says, "Because," what? "You believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins." So it makes all the difference about what our relationship is in relationship to what we believe about Jesus Christ. And then we understand that he's that one who was lifted up. Jesus said earlier, "And I, if I be lifted up, will we draw all men unto myself." And even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And so Christ is that one who, when he is lifted up, "Then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself." You know, it's interesting, earlier on in this passage, Jesus says, verse 21, "I go my way." We've talked about the fact that he's going to return to heaven. "And ye shall seek me." You know, after Jesus went back to heaven, there were those Jewish people who had heard him preach, who had seen his miracles, and they were looking now for him. And they were seeking him. But the Bible also talks about a day of salvation in Hebrews, and not to miss the day of salvation. And he said to them there, "You're going to look for me, you're going to seek me, but you're going to die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." I believe and trust that you have that same assurance tonight, that you are going to die in the Lord. There's the part of a song, "Hallelujah, What a Savior," says these words, "Lifted up was he to die. It is finished," was his cry. now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And then there's another part of a song that goes like this. My sins laid open to the rod, the back which from the law was free, and the eternal Son of God received the stripes once due to me. We sang a little earlier, I laid my sins on Jesus. And aren't you glad that you are in the Lord tonight? Let's pray. Lord, as we continue in this special communion service tonight, we are so grateful, so thankful, even though undeserving, you have brought us into your family through faith in Christ, and we are now in the Lord. How wonderful is our standing, how wonderful is our state, our condition. And Lord, we look forward to the day when we will be with you for all eternity. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for a Savior. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. 220